Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Back to talking about folly and how to recognize and avoid it. Back to learning the principles that will keep us from great destruction in our own lives because we are acting like fools. This chapter will help us to recognize the characteristics of folly. And if we have any measure of wisdom, then we will avoid those. But of course, wisdom is God's truth applied to every area of life, and if we don't value God's truth, if we don't acquire God's truth, if we don't have a heart that desires and seeks God's truth, then what we'll do is go down the road of folly. And folly is simply the failure to apply God's truth to daily life. And Ecclesiastes chapter 10 gives us a pretty good description of folly in the first three verses. And then it talks, first of all, about folly in high places in verses 4 through 7, and then secondly, folly in low places in verses 8 through 11. And we're still dealing with folly in high places, and by that I mean folly manifested by people who are in positions of authority. Rulers is what Solomon is talking about here, and he knew he was a king, he was a ruler. And so he was talking about what he had observed, and actually the sad thing about it is that later in his life Solomon himself departed from the category of a wise ruler to the category of a foolish ruler. And when did he do that? When he left the path of wisdom and stopped following God's word, stopped obeying the word of God, and started being swept away by his foreign wives into false and idolatrous religion, and then he became a foolish king instead of a wise king. He's really a sad example of what he describes for us here in this section. But let's learn from the wise King Solomon, who wrote this before he became foolish. And so back to chapter 10. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, January 8. And many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's word on this station. Well, how to recognize foolish rulers? We've learned in verses 5 and 6, it is because, or I should say, it is when we see people elevating others to positions of authority who are not qualified, but they have some kind of family connection. They are relatives of the ruler. They are friends of the ruler. They, the old proverbial boss's nephew that gets the managerial position, becomes the vice president when he has no qualifications, except his relationship to the ruler. And a ruler who does that, who puts his own relatives and friends in positions of authority when they're not qualified, is simply manifesting that he's not a wise ruler himself. Because he's not wise, how did he get in his position? Well, who knows? Of course, ultimately, the sovereignty of God placed him there. But how did he get there? Since he's clearly not a qualified person, he's not a wise person, how did he get there? Well, who knows? In the case of kings, in those days, it generally came by being born the son of a king, and you inherited the throne. If you were the firstborn, or if you were the favored son, or if you were the only son, you inherited the throne. But you see, just because a person is the son of a king doesn't mean that they're wise and qualified to rule a nation. Remember what happened when Solomon died, and Solomon, of course, is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. But do you remember what happened when Solomon died? Solomon, who built the kingdom of Israel to its greatest glory, a glory that it had never achieved before Solomon sat upon the throne, and a glory that it never achieved after Solomon died and no longer sat upon the throne. Its greatest glory, its greatest expanse of territory that was ruled, it was under the authority of the king of Israel, its greatest wealth, its greatest reputation, its greatest influence in the world, all of that took place under King Solomon, who was a wise man. He prayed for wisdom. God granted his request. He ruled wisely most of his life, and only stumbled when he departed from the Word of God. And remember, wisdom is God's truth applied to every area of life. And as long as Solomon did that, he had amazing wisdom. He had a reputation, a worldwide reputation for wisdom, which some people who checked it out carefully agreed was totally deserved, and maybe that his wisdom was even greater than what had been told. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came to check him out. I've heard about your wisdom in my country. It seems like it's not possible that anybody could be as wise and great as you have been reported to be, so I've come to check it out. And when she did, her conclusion was, why, the half has not been told. Not only are you everything that was reported, no exaggeration here, but actually your wisdom and grandeur is greater than I had been told. That was Solomon. What happened when he died? The son of his, and he had a lot of sons, but the son of his that inherited the throne was a man by the name of Rehoboam. When Rehoboam became king, some of the leaders of the nation of Israel came to him and said, your father Solomon placed heavy loads upon us, heavy taxation, heavy burdens upon us. And if you will lighten up, we will gladly serve you. And Rehoboam went to the counselors that had been his father's counselors, the wise men of the kingdom, and he asked them what they thought of this request, and they said, do what the people say, what the people have requested. If you will, and if I remember correctly, the language goes something like this, if you will become a servant to them, they will be your servants forever. Show kindness, show humility, don't act like the big shot, don't throw your weight around, don't let the crown that now rests upon your head go to your head. Don't get blown up with pride. Respond favorably to their request, and you will seal your authority over this kingdom for the rest of your life. That was their advice, good advice. But then what did he do? He said, okay, thank you for your opinion, but I'm going to check with my friends, the young men that he'd grown up with, his playmates, his schoolmates, the young princes and nobles of the kingdom that he had become friends with, who all thought they were so smart. They were fools. They had no experience. They had no wisdom. They didn't know the Word of God. They weren't applying godly wisdom to every area of life. And he asked them their advice on what to do. And they said, why, you tell those folks that they ain't seen nothing yet. If my father placed a heavy burden upon you, I'm going to place a heavier, an even heavier one on you. I'm going to really show you that I have the authority. And when he told them that, they said, goodbye. look to your own kingdom, but we're not going to submit to your authority. And the kingdom was split. And of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Bible tells us one went to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. That was the tribe of Judah, which happened to be the largest one at that particular time. But 10 tribes went to a rival by the name of Jeroboam, who had fled down to Egypt under the reign of Solomon, but he came back when Solomon died, and they made him king, and the kingdom split, and the northern kingdom was ruled by Jeroboam, and now it was a larger kingdom than the southern kingdom, which was ruled by Rehoboam, who had the tribe of Judah, and also the small tribe of Benjamin, which was closely aligned with Judah, so basically there were two tribes. And so there it was, old Mr. Hotshot, Mr. I'm going to show you who's boss king, lost the kingdom because he was foolish. And he was foolish because he, in this case, elevated unqualified people to the position of counselors. Rulers have counselors around them. If it's the president of the United States, he has a cabinet. If it is a king, they have what they usually call the king's court, and the court actually is the advisors of the king who hold different positions of authority, and each one has a particular administrative role that he plays. And instead of listening to the advice of the wise people that his father had placed in positions of authority because they were qualified, he turns to his unqualified friends and basically makes them the counselors, gives them these positions in the court, listens to their advice, which is not good advice, and it cost him the kingdom. We're talking about how to recognize foolish rulers, and Rehoboam demonstrated himself to be a foolish ruler right off the bat, at the beginning, by elevating unqualified favorites to positions that they were not qualified for. They hadn't proved themselves wise and experienced in these areas. So that's what you see in verses 5 and 6. And then verse 7 has this interesting statement. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. In that day, servants very seldom had a horse. They walked. But the wealthy people, influential people, the people of high position rode on horses. But Solomon says, I've seen servants on horses because somebody gave them a horse. So they didn't have it, wouldn't have had it otherwise. So somebody, as it were, elevated them to a position of authority and gave them a horse. While princes walk on the ground like servants, somebody demoted them. And this is speaking about upsetting the social order. And some people think that's a great thing, just upset the social order because it's unjust anyway and blah, blah, blah. And so they make it their life's work to tear down the existing social order so that they can rebuild one in its place that they think will be better. But of course, they seldom ever replace it with anything except anarchy. And what is that? That is the height of folly. That is folly to the nth degree. But it's what happens when people don't apply God's wisdom to life. When they ignore God's wisdom and apply their own ideas, then they make a huge mess of things and show themselves to be fools, fools in high places. Well, we'll return again next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.